نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فما زلنا في الحديث عن أحكام الجنائز
Until the day of judgment.
من كتاب فقه السنة.
Today, inshallah, we resume talking about the rules pertaining to funerals from the book of
Sunnah
and understanding the Sunnah. And we last time we stopped at the topic of
عبد الله بن جعفر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اصنعوا لآل جعفر طعاما فإنهم قد أتاهم أمر يشغلهم.
رواه أبو داود والترمذي. Prepare some food for the family of Ja'far, for what has befallen them is keeping them preoccupied. This is narrated by Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, al-Tirmidhi, who narrated it as a sound hadith. So this is a hadith that the Prophet narrated or said when Ja'far ibn Abi Talib was killed in the battle of Mu'tah. So the Prophet told the companions to prepare food for the family of Ja'far, because the because they were in grief, and that was that was too much for them to handle. So the Prophet said that prepare for them some food, because they are too busy with their loss.
قال واستحب الشارع هذا العمل لأنه من البر والتقرب إلى الأهل والجيران.
So the Prophet peace be upon him recommended this practice, for it is an act of virtue and kindness and brings friends and neighbors closer to each other.
درجات عند الله سبحانه وتعالى إطعام الطعام. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يعني ثلاث درجات إطعام الطعام.
As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that among the things that bring one to Allah سبحانه وتعالى, much closer to Allah سبحانه وتعالى, is to feed the needy ones or to prepare food for people. So even preparing food for the non-believer or for an animal or for any living creature is really something that brings one closer to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. So it might as well be something to something good to do for those who have been afflicted with a calamity or who have lost somebody from among themselves. The Shafi'i said it is recommended that the relatives of the deceased prepare enough food to feed all deceased's family for one day and night, for it is the sunnah of the Prophet and a practice and a practice of good people. So Imam Shafi said that it's recommended to prepare food enough for a day and a night, meaning 24 hours. The people or the family of the deceased would have regained their senses, and they would have come out of their started to come out of their problem. The scholars hold it commendable to urge the deceased family to eat, so that their sorrow or excessive grief will not cause them to avoid food and thereby become weak. because some people might feel shy to eat because of what they're going through. So the scholar said that it is recommended to push them, to push the people, the deceased family to eat, even if they refuse to press them to eat, insist. And repeat
على كراهة صنع أهل الميت طعاماً للناس يتجرعون عليه. طيب في المقابل بقى لو العكس أهل الميت هم يصنعون طعاماً.
These scholars also hold that to offer food to the women while they are mourning loudly is not permissible, for it would be helping them in something sinful.
بس في قبلها يعني مسألة اللي هي قالوا لا يجوز اتخاذ الطعام للنساء إذا كنا ينحن لأنه إعانة لهن على المعصية. أيضا هنا مسألة فاتتنا اللي هي
so it is just a general practice that if anybody is doing something wrong then we should not give him or do anything for him that would help him continue whatever he or she is doing. So if there are women wailing or mourning loudly, then it is not permissible to prepare food for them because that would help them in something. All the schools of Islamic law disapprove of the deceased family preparing food for the people coming to pay their condolences, for as to their grief and further encumbers them unnecessarily. So it adds to their grief and further encumbers them unnecessarily. Because they have a lot on their hand to deal with, preparing the deceased and maybe also talking about the inheritance and all these things. So these are things that are occupying the family of the deceased, and so it's not recommended for them to prepare food for those who come to pay their condolences.
الميت مكلفين بإطعام هؤلاء الضيوف. فكما ذكرنا السنة بالعكس أن الأقارب المتوفى
and as we said previously that the sunnah is contrary to this, actually is for the people around the family to prepare food for them.
قال لحديث جرير رضي الله عنه قال كنا نعد الاجتماع إلى أهل الميت.
Such a practice would also resemble the custom of the Arabs before Islam. Referring to this practice, Jarir says, in those days we considered it a part of mourning to assemble at the deceased house and to prepare food after burial for those gathered there. Some scholars consider this to be absolutely forbidden or haram.
صنع الطعام أن أهل الميت يصنعون طعاما للناس ويجتمع الناس عندهم للأكل.
So Jarir said that we used to consider not only getting together and screaming loudly or crying loudly as the mourning or the نياحة, but also we used to consider gathering together and preparing food after burial for those gathered there. We used to consider this also as part of most of the scholars said that this is a bid'ah, this is an innovation in religion, and this is understood from the most of the hadith and the practice of the companions.
ولكن في نفس الوقت يعني هناك رأي آخر فيه
but at the same time there is another opinion
لا بأس أن أهل الميت إذا صنعوا طعاما هذا يعني
which says that
مكروهات أو يعني خلاف الأفضل وكذا ولكن
that even though it is not recommended for the family of the deceased to prepare food, but it is not haram or forbidden for them to prepare food.
اجتمعت إليها النسوة يعني اجتمعت إليها النسوة ثم يتفرق ويبقى أهلها ثم يتفرقنا ويبقى أهلها فتصنع لهم إيه تلبينة نوع من الطعام يعني فتطعمهم وكذا. فقالوا هذا فيه يعني النسوة إيه اجتمعن إلى عائشة وأنها يعني صنعت لهم طعاما وكذا، والحديث صحيح البخاري.
Aisha once she was in mourning and some relatives of hers or close friends of hers gathered to help her in the chores pertaining to the dead person or to preparing the dead. And after they were done, Aisha prepared food for them and they stayed and ate with her.
مساعدة في أمر المطاف. فلهذا كنا يجتمعنا ثم يتفرقنا بسرعة. يعني ما كنا يعني وطننا مقصرا.
So but this what was the reason for that was that the women gathered or came to help Aisha not to gather together for mourning purposes but to help her prepare the to help her with the affairs pertaining to the to the death or to the funeral.
الأمر فيهم أسهل يعني أهل المتوفى وقرابته يعني إذا اجتمعوا في بيت المتوفى وصنع أهل الميت يعني طعاما لأقاربهم الذين اجتمعوا في البيت أن الأمر في هذا أسهل. وأما اجتماع الغرباء تصبح يعني دعوة عامة ويجتمع الغرباء فهذا يعني يدخل في حديث جرير.
But also when if this refers to or the gathering refers to only to the relatives of the deceased getting gathering in the house of the deceased, that it would be okay for the family of the deceased to prepare food for them. There is no harm in that because there might be some people coming from far distances and so that there's no harm in that. But if the thing is expanded to include other people from the neighborhood or from people who are not related to just gather together for the purpose of mourning, then this is what's meant in the hadith of Jarir. So what's the proper form of paying condolences? What's the proper form? What's the proper thing to do? How should we pay our condolences to somebody who has lost somebody? The Prophet ﷺ used to used to pay his condolences to anybody to just by meeting him in the street or whenever he sees him. And he used not to, even the Prophet ﷺ did not gather any people he did not prepare his house for mourning, for example, to receive condolences from the people, and none of the companions did that. So the Prophet ﷺ had several daughters who died in his life and also sons. And he never sat in his house and waited for people to go and pay their condolences to him. So it is okay for one to go to the house just to pay condolences to somebody, but and leave immediately without staying there or without the family of the deceased preparing their house for the
قال فإن دعت الحاجة إلى ذلك جاز فإنه ربما جاءهم من يحضر ميتهم من القرى
Ibn Qudama observes that it is permissible, however, when there is a genuine need for it, Since sometimes people attending the funeral may be from distant places and they have to stay with the family of the deceased, in which case the family has to host such guests. So sometimes some relatives come from distant places to pay condolences, and those relatives might stay in the house of the deceased or in one of the of his close relatives' houses. So in that case, who should host them, who should prepare food for them? So in that case, it is permissible for the family of the deceased to prepare food for those.
ورواية أنه سهل فيه لأهل الميت، يعني رخص في اجتماع أهل الميت في بيت الميت، لحد استدل بحديث عائشة. في روايتين عن من أحمد، وكذلك قول يعني البعض المالكية وبعض الأحناف قالوا بالجواز.
يعني. Now about gathering in the house of the deceased.
إلا في اجتماع أهل الميت، يعني يعني يتسامح في هذا.
If it is for the family of the deceased, I mean, there is an opinion for Imam Ahmad that if it is for the family and relatives of the deceased, then it would be okay to gather in the house of the deceased. And also there is an opinion for Imam Malik that even if it extends to other people other than the relatives, that it's still be permissible to gather in the house of the deceased.
كفن في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلم
Next we move to the topic of preparing the kafan or shroud and grave before death.
يعد كفنا قبل أن يموت في أثناء الحياة يجهز يعني كفن وكذا ويوصي أهله إن شاء الله إن كنت وفيت كفنوني في هذا الثوب.
Someone might feel that he likes to be buried in a certain kafan. He brings a kafan or a shroud and tells his family that this is my shroud, and if when I die, please bury me in this kafan. Bukhari deals with this subject in a chapter entitled "Those who prefer the kafan in the Prophet's days without him objecting to it." Reporting on the authority of pertaining to the death to the dead person or to preparing the dead, and after they were done, Aisha prepared food for them and they stayed and ate with her. So, but this, what was the reason for that was that the women gathered or came to help Aisha, not to gather together for mourning purposes, but to help her prepare the to help her with the affairs pertaining to the to the death or to the funeral.
يعني إذا اجتمعوا في بيت المتوفى وصنع أهل الميت يعني طعاما لأقاربه الذين اجتمعوا في البيت أن الأمر في هذا أسهل، وأما اجتماع الغرباء تصبح يعني دعوة عامة ويجتمع الغرباء فهذا يعني يدخل في حديث جرير.
But also when if this refers to, or the gathering refers to only to the relatives of the deceased getting gathering in the house of the deceased, that it would be okay for the family of the deceased to prepare food for them. There is no harm in that, because there might be some people coming from far distances, and so that there is no harm in that. But if the thing is expanded to include other people from the neighborhood or from people who are not related, to just gather together for the purpose of mourning, then this is what meant in the hadith of Jarir. So what's the proper form of paying condolences? What's the proper form what's the proper thing to do, or how should we pay our condolences to somebody who has lost somebody. The Prophet ﷺ used to used to pay his condolences to anybody to just by meeting him in the street or whenever he sees him. And he used not to, even the Prophet ﷺ did not gather any people he did not prepare his house for mourning, for example, to receive condolences from the people, and none of the companions did that. So the Prophet ﷺ had several daughters who died in his life, and also sons. And he never sat in his house and waited for people to go and pay their condolences to him. So it is okay for one to go to the house just to pay condolences to somebody, but and leave immediately without staying there, or without the family of the deceased preparing their house for the
purpose. قال فإن دعت الحاجة إلى ذلك جاز فإنه ربما جاءهم من يحضر ميتهم من القرى
Ibn Qudama observes that it is permissible, however, when there is a genuine need for it, since sometimes people attending the funeral may be from distant places and they have to stay with the family of the deceased, in which case the family has to host such guests. So sometimes some relatives come from distant places to pay condolences, and those relatives might stay in the house of the deceased or in one of his close relatives' houses. So in that case, who should host them, who should prepare food for them? So in that case, it is permissible for the family of the deceased to prepare food for those.
يعني لخص في اجتماع أهل الميت في بيت الميت استدل بحديث عائشة في روايتين عن من أحمد وكذلك قول يعني البعض المالكية وبعض الأحناف قالوا بالجواز
يعني. Now about gathering in the house of the deceased.
إلا في اجتماع أهل الميت يعني يتسامح في هذا.
If it is for the family of the deceased, I mean, there is an opinion for Imam Ahmad that if it is for the family and the relatives of the deceased, then it would be okay to gather in the house of the deceased. And also there is an opinion for Imam Malik that even if it extends to other people other than the relatives, that it would still be permissible to gather in the house of the deceased.
كفن في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلم
Next we move to the topic of preparing the kafan or shroud and grave before death.
يعد كفنا قبل أن يموت في أثناء الحياة يجهز يعني كفن وكذا ويوصي أهله إن شاء الله إذا توفيت كفنوني في هذا الثوب.
Someone might feel that he likes to be buried in a certain kafan. So he brings a kafan or a shroud and tells his family that this is my shroud, and when I die, please bury me in this kafan. Bukhari deals with this subject in a chapter entitled "Those who prepare the kafan in the Prophet's days without him objecting to it." Reporting on the authority of Sahih, Bukhari says, a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ with a woven piece of cloth and had two seams on its edges. She said, I wove it with my own hands in order to wear it. The Prophet ﷺ took it because he needed it.
فقال أتدرون ما البردة؟ قالوا الشملة.
He wrapped it around his waist so that it covered the lower half of his body, and he came toward us. A man praised it, saying, "This is a very nice cloth. Why don't you give it to me to wear?" Some of the people present there reproached the man, for they knew that the Prophet ﷺ needed the cloth and that he never denied anyone's request.
فجئت لأكسوها يعني المرأة صنعتها هدية للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سجدتها المرأة بيدها وجاءت بهذه البردة وكانت البردة يعني ثمينة والمرأة يعني تعبت فيها وكذا وجهزتها لتكون هدية للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So the man replied, by Allah, I asked him for it not to wear it but to save it and use it as my kafan. Sahel continued, and later when he died, the same piece of cloth was used as his kafan. So this is a story about a woman who prepared a piece of cloth, and she prepared it for her to be a kafan for her. And she brought it to the Prophet ﷺ to show it to him. So the Prophet ﷺ took it from the woman and wrapped it around his lower part of the body, his lower half of his body. Then a man, when the companion saw it, a man among them praised it and said, he said, this is a very nice cloth, why don't you give it to me to wear? So the Prophet ﷺ, because the companion knew that the Prophet ﷺ never denied anybody's request, never turned anybody down. They approached that man and said, you know that the Prophet ﷺ, he's wearing it because he needs it. So then the man said, by Allah, I did not ask him for it to wear it, but I asked him for it to use it as a kafan or as a shroud. Then Sahel said that when that man died, that same piece of cloth was used to bury him.
فقال فكانت كفنه يعني بالفعل الرجل صلى محتفظا بهذه البردة إلى أن توفي وكفن فيها.
So the man did save that cloth until he died and used it as a kafan. Commenting in the above chapter of Bukhari, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar says, Bukhari raised it so as to show that though initially the companion disliked the man's request for the cloth from the Prophet ﷺ, they did not disapprove of it when he explained to them the reason for his request. This proves that it is permissible for a person to arrange during his lifetime for things he will need after his death, such as a kafan or a grave.
لكن لما ذكر عذره أنه يريد أن تكون هذه البردة كفنا له لم ينكر عليه الصحابة. هذا يدل على جواز هذا الأمر. يعني لو كان يعني هذا شيء مستنكر إنسان يعد الكفن في حياته لكان الصحابة أنكروا عليه وقالوا كيف تصنع كفن وأنت لسه ما زلت على قيد الحياة وكذا. الصحابة ما أنكروا عليه هذا.
So if this if preparing a kafan for oneself while he's still alive was something objectionable, then the companions would have objected to that act by the Sahabi and by that man when he said that I wanted to use that or to save that piece of cloth for me to wear it when I die.
فضلاء الصحابة ما كان يعني من عادتهم هذا.
But this practice is really something. It is permissible. It's not recommended. There is nothing from the life of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم from his actions or the actions of the companions after him, Abu Bakr, Umar, Ali, Uthman. That shows that they prepared the graves of their kafans, their shrouds for them to be buried in. But if a person is in a place that he might fear that people will not be able to find something for to bury him, and he expects to die in that place, then it would be okay for him to prepare his shroud before his death. So if there is a need for it, there is no harm. It is overall, it's permissible. It's not haram or disliked. So if one feels that he needs to prepare his kafan for him for his burial before his death, it's okay.
هذا منتشر في بعض البلاد.
The brother says that in many places around the world that some Muslims they like to save the cloth, that the two pieces of cloth that they perform pilgrimage in for their burial, and they say that we performed Hajj or pilgrimage in these garments, so we like them to be used for our burial. So the answer is that they can do that, even though it is not recommended. There is nothing, there is no recommendation from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to use them, or that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم or any companions did it.
هل يلتحق بذلك حفر القبر؟ ثم قال ابن بطال رحمه الله فيه جواز إعداد الشيء قبل وقت الحاجة إليه. قال وقد حفر جماعة من الصالحين
قبل الموت. Who cites Ibn Battal, who said that it is permissible to arrange for something before it is actually needed. Furthermore, Al-Hafiz observed, some righteous people did indeed have their graves and have their graves dug and prepared for them during their lifetime.
وجهزوها قبل أن يموت عشان أو ما يموت في كل شيء يعني جاهز ما يتعبون أهله في شيء. قال وتعقبه الزين بن المنير.
زين بن المنير criticized him saying that the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not do so and that is doing so preparing one's grave meaning that is preparing one's grave during one's lifetime. If doing so were desirable, most of them, meaning the companions, would have done so. So this is a scholar who said that if this was something permissible, then the companions of the Prophet would have done so. And since they have not done so, then this means that it should not be permissible. But as we said, that it is not recommended, there is nothing that says that it is favored or recommended, but it is just permissible.
قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله لا بأس أن يشتري الرجل موضع القبر.
Commenting on this, Al-Aini says the fact that it was not done by the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم does not imply that doing so is not permissible. For if an act is deemed good by Muslims, then it is also good in the sight of Allah, especially when it is practiced by some of the most pious scholars. Ahmed said there is nothing wrong if a person purchases a site for his burial and makes a will to the effect that he is to be buried there. عثمان عائشة and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz all did so. So all those companions, Uthman, Aisha and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, they did that same thing that they purchased a site, a piece of land for them to be buried in.
وعلى كل حال يعني كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى ولا تدري وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت.
But we have to keep in mind that no soul knows what it will gain tomorrow, and no soul knows where it will die. So a person might prepare a site for his burial, but he might die in a place very far away from that site. So there's no harm in doing so. But again, it is not recommended that because one does not know when he will die or where he will die. Questions that if one buys a piece of land for him to be buried in and expecting that he would die in that place, like in the United States, and then he doesn't die there, he dies in another place and gets buried there, is that considered a waste of wealth? So the answer is no. If one does his best guess, and it will not be a waste of wealth because somebody will benefit from that site even after the death of the one who thought he was going to be buried there. So that will not be wasted.
لكن طبعا الغرض يعني يجاب عن هذا الغرض يعني الأساس من تذكر الموت اللي هو يعني الإعداد لما بعد الموت يعني العمل الصالح يعني الذي ينفعه.
Also, it might be a sign of one's consciousness of his death that he will die someday and that he prepares for himself for that day. Even though when we talk about preparing for one's death, it means that we always refer to preparing for what comes after death, for his life after death, meaning with the righteous deeds and putting forth the things that will guarantee him a good life after death. So again, it is there is no harm in one preparing the pieces of cloth for him to be buried in, or to buy a piece of land for his burial, especially if he doesn't want to burden his family after him. That he wants them not to be bothered with his death or to relieve them from all of the hassles.
That
come along with one's death. Question is, is it recommended for the person to die, to be buried in the place where he dies, or can he be moved? The answer is, it is recommended, yes, for the person to be buried wherever he dies and not to move the body to another place, except if the person dies not too far from his homeland, for example, if he's a few hundred miles, or that there's no harm, it's not a big burden to move that to move his body to his homeland. Also, if transporting the body. If transporting the body is not a big hassle, For example, these days we see that the people can transport dead people from one country to another with airplanes and these things, by airplanes and these things. But we know that when people want to do so, that the authorities or the hospital staff, they have to take all the guts of the deceased out and to use some chemicals to preserve him, and so this exposes him or subjects him to some humiliation, subjects the deceased to some humiliation after death. After death, so if that can be avoided, it would be better.
تكلفة وإزاي مثلا وسط إن هي تدفع هناك وكذا. فالجواب يعني صحيح أن هذه الوصية يعني لا يعمل بها. هذه الوصية لا يعمل بها.
Some people, they make a will to be transported back to their homeland if they die in another country, and they earmark some money for that purpose. The answer to that is that if one makes a will like that, then it should not be executed. That should be excluded or thrown away. Especially that transport. We know that transporting the body of the deceased really costs a lot of money, like probably tens of thousands of dollars. So if one makes such a will, it should not be obeyed. Especially that there are places for the Muslims to be buried in this country, for example. There are graveyards for the Muslims, and if there were no graveyards, then that might be a different story. But since there are graveyards for the Muslims, then there's no point in transporting or moving the dead person to another country. Again, the sunnah is for the person to be for the dead person to be buried wherever he dies. Is there a time period for reusing the graveyard?
لا بأس به إذا احتاج إليه يعني يجوز يعني يجوز أصلاً أن يدفن يعني اثنان وثلاثة.
There's no harm in using the same grave over and over. There's no problem in burying more than one person in the same grave. And we know that after the Battle of Uhud, many companions were killed. So the Prophet ﷺ, because the Muslims were tired of after the fighting, and so they were too tired to dig 70 graves. So they only dug about 20 graves, and so the Prophet ﷺ put two or three people in one grave. And the Prophet ﷺ used to put the people who memorized most Quran together, and the people who were the earliest to embrace Islam, he used to put them together. And so he used to put the to combine those who were alike or closer to each other in the same grave.
نعم. بالنسبة للدفن في الصندوق وكذا يعني هو في الأصل أنهم العادات الكفار
about burying somebody in a box.
لكن يعني للضرورة الإنسان إذا اضطر إلى هذا.
This is the habit of the non-believers that they put people in the dead people in boxes and bury them in those boxes. So it is. This is not permissible. It should not be done by the Muslim. But if they have to, if they are forced to by some laws in the place where they live, then they can do so. But if they don't have to, then it's not. Then they should not bury people in boxes.
بيخرج من الصندوق في بعض الأحيان. نعم، بتخلوا الصندوق في بعض المناطق اللي يخرجوا. إذا يعني كان المسلمون طريق لا ترك في الصندوق لا بأس، يعني يصبح الباب مفتوح. نعم.
هو صحيح يعني في بتعتمد على الوضع الهيدرولوجي يعني للمنطقة، يعني في يعني هم أحيانا يضعون الجثث في صناديق لألا تلوث المياه.
فيها رطوبة يعني.
يعني عندما هذه الجثث يعني عندما تتحلل يعني تكون فيها بكتيريا وكذا وممكن تنقل أمراض. ففي مناطق مثل مينيسوتا مثلا المياه الجوفية مرتفعة يعني قريبة من سطح الأرض، فهم يعني لا يريدون أن يعني أن يلوثوا المياه. يعني ممكن بعد فترة يعني تتحلل الصناديق نفسها يعني يعني تختلط بالمياه، ولكن في البداية يعني في المنطقة اللي هي ممكن في الفترة اللي ممكن هذا الجثث يعني تنقل أمراض فيستعملون هذه الصناديق، يعني يجب أن تكون بصمة وغير نافذة للمياه.
يعني تحتاج يعني فتوى.
نعم، هذه يعني أنا معلوماتي هنا يعني في المناطق اللي فيها يعني المياه الجوفية مرتفعة يعني يجب أن
تستعمل. يعني هو الأصل يعني ينبغي اختيار مكان المقبرة، يعني يختار مكان المقبرة، يعني لو أنا في بلد إسلامية وكذا يختار مكان يعني قدر ما قدر المستطاع يكون مكانا جافا أو كذا بحيث لا يتأذى أحد. لكن يعني لو فرضت هذه المسألة يعني لو كان في بلد إسلامية وبالفعل يعني الجثث ستنقل أمراضا عن طريق المياه الجوفية، يعني يكون هذا عذرا للدفن في الصناديق وكذا يحتاج.
Sometimes the boxes are used. The brother who has the headset the high volume set the very high, please turn it down. The boxes are used in some regions to protect the groundwater from getting polluted by the or infected by the diseases that might be carried by the dead people. And so when the groundwater is too close to the surface, they have to bury the people in boxes that will not permit the bodies to get into contact with the groundwater. And the sheikh actually commented on this, is that if there is a situation like that, then that might be a reason or a cause for that would force us or the Muslims to use boxes to prevent that from happening. But also the Muslim should choose a graveyard or a place for a graveyard which should be elevated above the groundwater, and that it should be dry in order not to face such a problem.
اللهم ارزقني شهادة في سبيلك واجعل موتي في بلد رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Now we move to the topic of the desire to die in the Haramain. The desire to die in either of the sanctuaries in Mecca and Medina is commendable. Bukhari has reported in the authority of Hafsa that Umar said, O Allah, grant me martyrdom in your cause and cause me to die in the city of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereupon Hafsa asked him, why do you pray for such a thing? He said, Allah willing, I shall get what I have prayed for. So some companions when they heard Umar that Umar was praying or was wishing for that to happen, to be a martyr in the Medina of the Prophet ﷺ, so they thought that he was wishing for something bad, because if he is to be killed as a martyr, to die as a martyr in the Medina, then that means that he was wishing for the enemies to come and conquer Medina so that he would fight and get killed in the Medina. But
فلما كان يعني حفصة رضي الله عنها قالت أن هذا
بات من عمر was died when Omar was killed was stabbed by the by that Persian fire worshipper. He was killed. He died as a martyr, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the prayer of Umar, and he died as a martyr in the Medina of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this answers the objection of the companions that he doesn't have to be in a battle to die as a martyr, as the Prophet told us that there are many martyrs who didn't have to be in the battlefield.
صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني لفضل المدينة وكذا، فقالوا يعني إذا من باب أولاد مكة يعني فضلها أكبر وكذا، فلا بأس أن الإنسان يتمنى أن يكون في مكة.
So again from the story of Umar, we understand that there is no harm in if one wishes to die in the holy places of Medina or Mecca.
قال من صبر على شدتها ولأوائها، واللأواء بمعنى المشقة يعني الشدة.
الطبراني reported in the authority of Jabir that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, he who dies in one of the two sanctuaries will be raised in peace on the day of resurrection. Among the narrators of this hadith are Musa ibn Abd al-Rahman, who is mentioned as trustworthy by Ibn Hibban,
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من استطاع منكم أن يموت من المدينة فليموت. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من استطاع منكم أن يموت من المدينة فليموت. أحمد
regards the hadith as weak, while Ibn Hibban considers
it sound.
In other narrations about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that whoever can die, whoever among you can die in Medina, then he should do so. And I will be a proxy on his behalf, or I'll intercede on his behalf on the day of judgment if anyone dies in Medina.
بعث آمنا يوم القيامة، لكن هذا الحديث يعني قال فيه موسى بن عبد الرحمن ذكر.
And also the hadith that we mentioned, which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, he who dies in one of the two sanctuaries will be raised in peace on the day of the resurrection. And as Ahmad regards this hadith as a weak hadith, this is a weak hadith.
بغتة فجأة
sudden death
بدون أن يكون متوقعا.
As some people die without any signs, without any symptoms that he's going to die. There's no disease or but it's not like the person who gets killed in a battlefield, that's not considered as sudden death, because he's in the battlefield and he should expect to die there. And also the one who becomes sick before his death, severely sick, and so he might think that he might die because of that disease. So that's not sudden death either. So if there are any signs that might die, then this is not considered sudden death. But if one dies without any signs, any indications that he might die, then that is the sudden death. One hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said that among the signs or the minor signs of the closeness of the Day of Judgment on the last day, is for sudden death to be widespread, to become widespread. So as we see these days, as we see that sudden death is really common, like heart attacks, people dying by heart attacks or by strokes,
or
in vehicle accidents, or in for example in airplane accidents, crashes, and some also people who die by those mass destructive weapons, nuclear weapons and so on and so forth. Hiroshima and Nagasaki are examples. So these people did not have any idea that they were in any kind of danger. They were just struck and they got killed without any without any prelude to that.
قبل أن يموت مثلا بشهر أو بأسبوع أو بأسبوعين ولا كذا أصيب يعني بمرض وكذا قبل الموت فهذا المرض يكون كفارة.
And we have to keep in mind that if one becomes sick before his death, just as any suffering, as we learned from the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that just as any suffering is an expiation for some sins committed by that servant. So if one becomes sick before his death and he undergoes some pain and suffering, so that is that should be a cleansing for some of his sins and expiation for some of his sins. And also if one becomes sick severely, this will give him an opportunity to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he's not in a good shape when it comes to his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also there will be an opportunity for him to tell people about any debts that he might have, any money that he might owe to other people. So there are many advantages for one becoming sick before he dies. Abu Dawood reported from Ubayd ibn Khalid al-Sulami, a companion of the Prophet ﷺ, that once he narrated from Ubayd and another time from the Prophet himself, peace be upon him, saying, being caught unaware by a sudden death is a grievous misfortune. This hadith has been reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Anas ibn Malik, Abu Hurairah and Aisha. But all these narrations are weak for one or another reason. But Sheikh Imam Albani ranked this hadith as a sound hadith, as a sahih. But does this hadith that everybody who dies a sudden death, does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with him? What's meant by this hadith is the death of the non-believer, that if a non-believer dies a sudden death, then that means that it is the wrath from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on him. And in many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished many people in a sudden He punished them all of a sudden, and they didn't. He did not give them any chance to thank or to prepare for their demise. So this hadith is to be interpreted as the death of those, the sudden death of the non-believers is wrath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
يعني كثير من المؤمنين وكذا يموت المؤمن مثلا في حادث سيارة ولا في حادث طائرة ولا في
بدون يعني. But for the believers, we know that many believers die suddenly and die in airplane crashes or in car accidents.
يعني حصل في زمن النبي.
And this does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with them.
جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أمي افتلتت نفسها. افتلتت نفسها يعني أخذت نفسها.
And in a hadith, an authentic hadith, a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said that, O Messenger of Allah, my mother died suddenly, and I know that had she lived longer, she would have paid a lot of charity.
فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تصدق عنها.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said spend on her behalf. So that was a righteous woman who wanted to give some charity before she died, and she died suddenly.
فجأة في أخذ الأسف يعني موت الفجار والكفار وكذا إذا كان فجأة فهو انتقام يعني من الله سبحانه وتعالى. أما المؤمن فيعني.
So again we go back to the hadith and we say that the hadith means that the death, the sudden death of the disbelievers, of the tyrants and the disbelievers, the evil people, if they die suddenly, this means that it is by a wrath from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
المسألة التي بعدها قال ثواب من مات له ولد. ثواب من مات له ولد.
Next topic is the reward of the person losing a child. Bukhari reported from Anas that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, a Muslim who loses three of his children before they come of age will be brought to paradise by Allah, has a mercy to him
for losing them. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من الناس من مسلم يتوفى له ثلاثة ولد.
So in this hadith the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that if any Muslim loses three of his children while they are still young, meaning before the age of puberty, that this Muslim will be brought to paradise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a mercy to him for losing them.
يعني بسبب يعني حزني عليهم
وعلى so by virtue of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter their father to paradise for their parents.
وكذلك أيضا هؤلاء الأطفال يكونون يعني شفعاء لوالديهم يوم القيامة.
Also those children will be شفعاء, will be will interfere on behalf of their parents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will be like a down payment from them to paradise. They will be they will beat their parents to paradise, meaning that they will get there before their parents, and this means that their parents will be joined with them.
في بعض الروايات الأخرى أن النساء قلنا للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم غلبنا عليك الرجال.
بخاري and Muslim reported from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri that he said Some women ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم appoint a separate day to admonish us. They went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said that the men have the greater share of you than we do, or the actually they beat us to you. They have you for them, but they don't have any share of you for us. So why don't you appoint a day, especially for us, the women, asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told them, if a Muslim woman's three children die, there will be a protection for her from hell. A woman asked him, and what if two of her children die? He replied, and even if two of her children die.
من الأطفال أو من الذرية يعني سواء كان ذكورا أو إناثا الولد في اللغة العربية
So in this hadith, when the Prophet assigned a day for those women and he went on that day to them, he told them that if a woman loses two or three of her children, and children means boys or girls, or a mixture. He said that there will be a protection for her from hell. And when a woman asked the Prophet ﷺ, what if two of her children die? The Prophet ﷺ said, and even if two of her children die. Next topic is the lifespan of Muslims. So the reported from Abu Huraira that the Prophet ﷺ said the lifespan of those in my ummah is 60 to 70 years, and a very few of them will exceed this span. So the Prophet ﷺ said that the majority of his followers of his ummah will live between 60 and 70 years, and only very few of them will exceed that, meaning that they will live more than 70 years. Now, what do we gain by knowing this piece of information? It is actually a good warning for the Muslim that when he reaches when he gets close to that age, that he should expect death and start preparing for it if he has that opportunity. This is the next topic. Bukhari and Muslim reported from Abu Qatada that once when the Prophet passed by the funeral, he said, he is now in peace, secure from others, and others are in peace, secure from him. The people asked, O Allah's Messenger, who is in peace and from whom are others in peace?
He said,
the believing servant of Allah is relieved from afflictions of his of this world upon his death,
and
upon the death of a wicked person, other people, land, trees, and animals are rid of his evil. So if it is an evil person, then every creature will be rid of that evil person. And if it is a righteous person, then he would be relieved and he will be saved from all the burdens and afflictions in this life, in this world. Because when an evil person dies, or when there is an evil person on earth, that every creature will be bothered by him, whether it's a creature that reasons, that understands or not, that the trees and the animals will be bothered by the presence of that evil person amongst them. So when the evil person dies, everybody will be relieved and will be rid of his evil, even if it is trees and animals and creatures with no senses.
هنا يسأل هل أفضل أن يدعو بالشهادة أو يدعو بالموت في مدينة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. تعرفنا يعني صعب يعني جمال كبير عمر
question is which is better to wish for شهادة or wish for death in the Medina of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
الجواب يعني الموت شهيدا أفضل من الموت في بلد الرسول.
The answer is this is a difficult question, but the answer is that to die as a martyr is better than dying in the town in the Medina of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the evidence to that is that the majority of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they traveled and they went very far away to fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking shahada, seeking martyrdom. And if dying in the Medina of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was better than dying as a martyr, they would have stayed in the Medina of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to die there. So if you go anywhere in Iraq, in Syria, in Turkey, even as far as Morocco and Spain, we find graves for those for companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So they really sought jihad and they worked hard, very hard to gain it. So we understand from that martyrdom, or to die as a martyr, is better than dying in the Medina of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
الشيخ يسأل يعني عن صنع أهل الميت طعاما بعد مضي 40 يوما للناس, فالجواب برضو نادر من البدع يعني.
Question is what's the rule on the family of the deceased preparing food after 40 days of his death, and there's no there's no evidence that people should make food for the deceased 40 days or any number of days after his death. And as a matter of fact, people have invented and innovated a lot when it comes to the issue of death and funerals. People have people are practicing a lot of forbidden things that have been innovated after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
برضو هذه أخونا يسأل عن لبس اللون الأسود بعد الوفاة.
Question about wearing black after during the morning or after the death of a person. This is also an innovation that there is no particular color that should be worn
after
the death of somebody. And actually there is no period of mourning for any person except for the wife of the deceased. Only the deceased, the wife of the deceased is the one who has to mourn, to follow certain practices after the death of her husband. But again, there is no certain color that she should wear. And as we covered before in the previous meetings, that the mourning of the wife involves her staying her in the house of her husband, unless there is a compelling reason not to do so, also not to wear any perfume and not to prepare herself for marriage. So these are the rituals for a mourning wife.
يعني إذا احتاجوا إلى مساعدة يعني من جوالهم, لكن إذا كان يعني طيب إن شاء الله فيما بعد
نكتفي بهذا القدر. سبحانه الله.